Ah. Maverick Music.
Maybach Music.
So sad because I was all alone. Was so bad. And there she goes. She touched my heart and said, "Ebezina knows who go." Hey, was so glad. The way she keeps me smiling, it brings me joy. She proves this loving is real. Within my heart, there's no. No delay, yeah. I've
All right, it's a good afternoon and welcome to Realm of the Historics. We are here and we are going to do the analysis of what happened, the stories that made headlines during the week in our own Namibia. And before we go into the international, because the international stories are very interesting. The international stories are very, very much interesting. But we also have very interesting stories inside here that we need to, you know, we need to make analysis of. And this time I tend to take everything a little bit lighter. I'm going to strip myself of the usual element where I am in. And we are not going to talk about the corporeal and the incorporeal. Though there are rumors that there are aliens that, you know, Trump will make a pronouncement on the aliens, and we'll come and talk about who are the aliens. Whether or not we have life in other planets, there are speculations. And there are speculations that the U.S. have captured, you know, certain strange, you know, vessels that crashed. And then they've captured bodies of strange beings. These have been rumors, you know, that have been spreading for years, if not for decades, if not centuries. And so we are going to talk about that, to see if we can make sense of it. Who are the aliens? Whether we have the aliens, and if they are there, if they exist, who are they? So, 26 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. We have a lot of time together. We have a lot of time together. So please don't change the dial. We are going to be discussing issues that are making headlines in Namibia and in the world. One of the first issues is the ongoing, you know, oil bill. And then another issue is whether or not it is possible for officials to be treated in public facilities under the current condition in which they are. Because the government is saying, well, government employees should be treated in health facilities. Then we are going to look at the appreciation of our president. Whether we are over-appreciating the president or we are doing the right thing. And then we look at the advantages thereof. You know, the advantages, why Namibia is doing this as compared to other countries. Then we go to the most dramatic international political character, Goma. Yesterday, the Supreme Court in America ruled that Trump acted out of the law. He did not have power to impose the tariffs that he imposed. So we are going to have those conversations and also check about the developments in, you know, the Geneva talks, the results of the Geneva talks between Iran and America, and they've also failed. And we see the potential inevitability of a conflict and the timeline thereof. So those are the things that we are going to be discussing. And don't forget, you can also... Oh, we forgot, even in Namibia, Lungus, that word lungus, it has brought problem. We are also going to, I think this, that is the one that you are going to start with. The lungus karatagoma.
Hello, Umasa.
Hello, Sikana.
Kunjani naku.
Unonzo zei.
Kudala ndi funu kutecha nawe. Ndonje ndiyo yi.
Kinonzo zei.
Mazake a.
Masuma ane.
Uti ino huko.
Ashidi watiko
ane. Namo bendi salata.
Kara uchi.
Yeah.
Alright, so we get into the Lungus Karatagoma. The Lungus Karatagoma. Now, if you put that Lungus Karatagoma, that sounds a little bit like, Latin or Greek. But that is Namlish. Lungus is Vambolish. And Karatagoma is Franclish. So together, we create the Namlish word or terminology of Lungus Karatagoma. Okay? So a boy of grade 5 said to one of the teachers, referred to one of the male teachers as somebody that has Lungus. Or this teacher, maybe let me create another term here for you, just so that you understand the seriousness of this issue. So this teacher is lungutic because he has Lungus. And Lungus means somebody who has a running mouth. I'll put it like that. Somebody that has a running mouth is called Lungus. Now, after this has been said, there was a serious repercussion on the teacher's side, because another male teacher who had this boy, took this boy to another male teacher, who took a pipe and hit this boy with a pipe, or beat the boy with a pipe. And then the parents came, and then the Karatagoma occurred. Now, for those who are new on Eagle FM, the word Karatagoma means chaos. It means trouble. So it means chaos. So there was chaos. It's a chaotic ramification. And the principal said it's an unfortunate situation. Okay? So what about the Lungus? Is it really offensive to the point that it can lead to the piping of a boy? Or to the teacher piping the boy? And what type of pipe is that that was used to beat this child? If those are the pipes, those soft pipes, you know, maybe they, I don't know whether they come from when people were building water pipes, the soft, but they're a bit hard. When you are beaten, it makes pom, pom. You know, in those days, in our days, we were not even beaten with pipes. In our days, we were beaten with worse things, worse than that. In our days, you know those tractor tires, or I don't know whether they are tractor tires or maybe truck tires, those big tires. You know, the armatrons, and they cut a whip from that. They cut a piece and they make it nicely. They make it nicely in a form of a long whip. And when it hits you, it makes cha, cha, cha. Once you are hit with that, you will repent immediately. Because even your body will know that no, something landed. Unusual. Not the pipe you people are talking about nowadays. Okay, because children of nowadays have eaten a lot of pizza and chips. And, you know, you have eaten a lot of ice cream. Just like a small thing, your body is already swollen. Not our bodies. Our bodies were strong. To the point that it will take maybe 10 rounds of a rotan to at least bring a sign that I was beaten. That's how strong our bodies were, because most of us were eating organic stuff. So now the word lungus is bringing problem, serious ramification. Now, let's look at it from a democratic point of view. When you look at it from a democratic point of view, yes, that is corporal punishment, according to them. Apparently, that is corporal punishment. So, a child was beaten by a teacher, that is corporal punishment, apparently. But if we look at it from ethical, now it depends who determines. Now somebody will say, look, what defines, how do you define ethics or ethical or moral? Because what is morally correct to you may not be morally correct to me. That's democratic argument, but that's not true. Because if what is morally correct to you, or if what is morally wrong to you is correct to me, we would not condemn rape, for example. Because rape is morally wrong. But the same people that are saying what is morally correct to you may not be morally correct to me are the same people that want certain things to be condemned. Well, for example, maybe rape is too extreme. Let me use homosexuality. So homosexuality is morally and ethically wrong. But it is democratically acceptable and correct. But homosexuality, we know that even naturally, biologically, it is wrong. Okay? So homosexuality is wrong, and I'm talking about it freely without any fear, because, I mean, I have relatives that are engaged in this kind of activities. So, but I'll say it is wrong biologically and naturally and moralistically wrong. But these same people that will say what is moralistically correct to may not be moralistically correct to me are the same people that want me to accept homosexuality. Under what morality? If we are saying what is morally correct to you may not be the same to me. So on what basis do you force me to accept that which is right to you? So that argument of saying what is morally correct to you may not be morally correct to me, it's a wrong argument. In fact, it's irrational. It's incongruent with the truth, or it's incongruent with reality. But we use such words as corner because we are fighting, we are having something that we want people to accept. But whenever a certain group of people reject a certain way of life, they are coerced and forced and in fact called primitive. For example, how we attack religious people when, especially when it comes to the issue of homosexuality. How we attack people from the religious society and the traditional and cultural society. How we condemn them and even call them that they are living under obsolete and primitive laws. Just because they reject, you know, queerism or, you know, LGBTQ, whatever plus. So, and, I mean, accepting homosexuality doesn't make one developed, or it does not make one logically sound. That's just your preference. Just like anybody that has their religious, you know, beliefs or cultural beliefs. Those are just their own preferences. But it does not make somebody primitive or logically sound, or maybe, you know, developed because they are on the side of a certain way of life. But that is, you know, that is forced under the guise of inclusivity, under the guise of so-called inclusivity. And you see, I'm starting to hate certain terminologies because they are being misused. Words like inclusivity. Those words are abused. And they are abused by two groups. There are two groups in this world that want to be accepted by force, by others. You know, two groups in this world that want to force people to dance to their tunes. You know, two groups in this world that think they are all, that thinks the world owe them something. You know, two major groups in this world, let me say three major groups in this world that thinks that they are special. And they think that the world owes them a certain way of life, like certain privileges. Number one, people with disabilities, or people with disabilities. Number two, LGBTQ community. And number three, women. So those three groups think they are special. And they think that the world owes them a certain position in life. They think that life itself, you know, owes them a certain honor and a certain privilege. Those three groups are the groups that wants to be accepted, and they want nature itself to bend to them. It is women, it is LGBTQ, it is people with disabilities. Those three groups, I don't know who deceived them to think that they are special. And that's why certain terminologies are made and created to coerce people, you know, to bend to their demands. So when you talk about inclusivity, you think about women, you think about LGBTQ, and you think about people with disabilities. Those are the groups, if there is any selfish society in this world, if there is any self-centered group of people, is the people with disability, LGBTQ, and women. Those groups are full of people that are self-centered, that are deceived to think that the world or nature itself can bend to their desires and will. Well, democratically, in a democratic fantasy, yes, they are special people. They are to be given special preferences because they are people with disabilities, or because they are women, or because they are LGBTQ communities. But in natural reality, that does not exist. It's a lie. Because natural reality does not bend to anybody's will. Now, this type of mentality is the same mentality that we are busy instilling in our children. The way we are raising our children these days, we are raising children to think they are special, to think that they are mini gods, that they are untouchable. We are not teaching the children to understand the ramification, the ramifications, and of their actions, or the reciprocal consequences of their actions. We are not teaching our children that. We are teaching our children, we are treating them like pizza that you chew and swallow in the stomach and gets into the toilet. This is how we are, this is the same way we are training children. The children of nowadays are disposable. Just like diapers. We are not making children to be products. To be productive tomorrow. And not only productive in terms of jobs. We are building a morally decayed society in the name of the so-called democratic rights. So, we are busy raising children worse than the way we raise chickens. Because chickens know that there are predators out there. Children don't know that. Our children don't know that if you insult an elder, there are ramifications. Our children don't know that. Because we are teaching them to think they are special. We are teaching them to think that they own this world. We are not raising children. We are raising, I don't know what we are raising. So as a result, you have children that cannot be, that are ill-mannered, that are now full in government schools, because you don't hear such things in private schools. Now, the government school is full of ill-mannered children whose parents have failed to raise them properly. And now, they become a problem to teachers. So I was born in the 80s, and I grew up in the 90s. And in the early 90s, a teacher was very venerable person. Now, there's a difference between the word venerable and the word and the word vulnerable. So there's a difference between venerable and vulnerable. Teachers those days were very venerable. They were very prominent in society. They were very revealed or revered. Teachers were very revered in our society. They were a very important part of society. So, when a teacher comes to your house, maybe just a teacher just passing by, maybe just wanting some water to drink before he or she can continue to with their journey, or maybe they came to buy something. All of you that go to school, all of you that go to school are afraid. What is he coming to do? What is she coming to do? But they are just talking there and laughing with your parents, and then there the teacher goes. Because we used to respect them. We were taught by our parents to respect the teachers. We were taught to fear the teachers because teachers were like our second parents. You know, the teachers could spank us just like our parents do. And if a teacher spanks you and you go and report to your parents, you might get the second spank. Or the teacher will even come and say, look, I spanked this boy because I found them climbing at I found him on top of the tree. He was even almost, he almost fell from the tree. So, but parents of nowadays, because they have lost, you know, they have lost it all as far as morality is concerned. They are raising their children like chickens. And then this problem must be for the teacher who is, you know, and it's chaotic. Now, let alone the government added icing to the cake. Or maybe they added cream to the cake by introducing the law that gives the right to Elena to go even to and open a case to the police against a parent. So we are going nowhere. Even the Vision 2060 that you are talking about as Africans, you are going to achieve it with whom? You are going to achieve it with whom when your children are going to die to drugs because they are spoiled. They don't understand life. We didn't have high drug consumption in our time. Or maybe our people were more village oriented. They were not exposed. But now talk about people that are you know, caught selling smoke, caught selling, you know, drugs. If you follow where these people are coming from, who are the parents of these people? So the process of instilling wisdom in a child is being shunned by government itself. In fact, there is an ongoing semitone, which is not loudly spoken. It's semi, it's an ongoing tone of, which tries to threaten whoever is trying by all means to raise his kids well. What agenda is that? So that's why, you know, last year when we were talking about culture and tradition, I said the chaos that the government brought into this country, I think I would make an assertion that is very serious by saying it's deliberately designed. Now, never in the history was a government responsible for the raising of the children or for the morality of the society. Never has that been. The morality of society, the morality of society is not a government responsibility. Now, when we talk about government, we talk about today's government, the democratic, the so-called democratic government that you have in this world. Now, what the government has done, when I'm talking about government, I'm talking about now internationally, is to facilitate the strategic defeat of a traditional setup. And what democracy has done was to facilitate the strategic and humiliating defeat of the traditional authorities, and then create a system that is not responsible for anyone, where people are irresponsible, and we call it a government order. We call it democracy. Democracy is a system where everyone does what they want. There is no law. Everyone is irresponsible. Now, if you're talking about the rule of law, what rule of law is it that people are full in prison? You build a prison of 60 people, now you have 250 people in one cell. What chaos is that? That is a result that your system is chaotic. Because where there is a rule of law, you see that prison, there will be no need for you to extend prison. Why do you extend prison if you have rule of law? The reason why prisons are extended is because there is lawlessness. And lawlessness is engraved in this system. Lawlessness is democratic. And then, you see, this thing of saying demokratos, the rule of the people by the people, that's absolute nonsense. That's why Greece never went anywhere with this nonsensical, philosophy. There is nobody who is serious who will establish a government of the people and for the people and by the people. That's nonsense. There is no such a government. Okay? There is no such a government. The government can never be for the people and by the people. Never. That's not a government. That is lawlessness. That's why in democratic countries, there are prisons that are ever increasing. Because why? Because there is lawlessness. There's no law. How do you create a government for the people and by the people? What kind of world order is that? That's a chaotic world order. Now, if you go traditionally, the government was never by the people. Never. Okay? The government was never by the people. The government was never by the people. And that's why you see that there was law compared to today, where everyone can even be eligible to be a doctor. So that's why now we are raising children that are now becoming nuclear bombs in classrooms. And they are being manufactured by the parents, branded by the government. So parents and government are responsible for the chaotic situation that we are in today, as far as the social moral decay is concerned. Because government is full of a lot of people, 99% of them that have lost it, moralistically speaking now. So no wonder they will make laws that are chaotic, because they are being haunted by their own conscience. Now, I don't want to be brutal in my analysis. I told you that there are three groups in the world that are very selfish, this very self-centered, and those three groups think that the world owes them a certain position, that the world owes them a certain honor, that they are even deceived to the point that they think that nature will bend to them. I told you these three groups. It is people with disabilities, LGBTQ community, and women. There is a reason why I'm saying that. Now, this problem is as a result of government's chaotic system. And the government, when they established a democratic system, they didn't understand, they didn't know how chaotic this system is. In fact, how false it is. In fact, Mark Carney, the Canadian Prime Minister, said, you know, this rule, international rule-based order, it never really existed, but we lived in a shadow of pretense, under pretense that it was we had a system called international rule-based order. Inasmuch as we are speaking the truth, Canada is one of those countries. You know, now that Canada is under hot ash by Trump, that's when then they are coming out and say, the international rule-based order never existed. But Canada was one of those countries that supported even the apartheid, regimes in Africa. So now the child says lungus to the teacher, and the teacher piped the child, and the child goes to the parents, and the parents go to the principal, and the principal could not even protect the teacher. The police is called in, a case is opened. So now, this has sent a very bad picture. Because this is now saying a teacher is no longer safe. And I don't know what is going on with the teacher, organizations that represent teachers, or they only represent teachers when it comes to increments. Because I did not even hear anyone from NANTU or TUN say anything. So you see the problem that we are in. We are in a very hot soup. Or we are in for a very high jump. But here is what, when I heard this, I called my children and I told them, you hear what is going on? Did you hear the teacher who was called, who beat the boy in grade 5? And I told my children that if I hear that you are misbehaving at school, I will come to that school and shambok you in front of everyone, in front of your fellow learners, so that you see that you cannot behave in contempt to a teacher. So, because if we don't stand up and strengthens the things that are remaining, that are about to die, we are going to lose everything. We are going to have children that are going to be unproductive. If we don't stand up in our individual life, in household, and correct our children, we are going to lose it all. And even the 2063 you are talking about, I don't know who is going to achieve it. Okay, I'm going to pause that for now. That is Kepi Mweketsi. Patty Machikisa and Kepi Mweketsi. It is 19 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. So, as I conclude with my first analysis on the channel to say, look, we are not supposed to make it as, you know, public school as a dustbin. We are turning public school as a dustbin. You know why the people are sending their children to private schools? It's because at private schools, children are very well-mannered. And there are strict laws. Private schools don't even adhere to your so-called democratic laws. If they say no hair, no, if they say no, you know, no blading. So if they say no this, no that, it's a one. That's why some parents are sending schools, are sending their children to private schools. And maybe private school will increase to the point that public schools will have lack of teachers. Because in fact, if I was to be a teacher, I would not want to be teaching in public school. Because public school now is transformed into a dustbin of, you know, ill-mannered children. So, but that's not how things were. We respected our teachers because our parents told us that if they heard we were misbehaving, no one wanted to come and be beaten in front of everyone by your parent because you are misbehaving. No one wanted that. So, but now we allow our children to insult teachers as parents, because as parents we gossip teachers in front of our children. We talk about them. We talk ill about teachers in front of our children. Then our children will go and misbehave, because we have told them that if anybody touches you, they will come and see that I'm a, they will come and see my, they will come and see the katutura in me. So we tell children that, and children go to school armed, and they misbehave deliberately because we have told them, we have given them that assurance that they are untouchable. And then our children will grow up to be useless people in society. People who are not going to be able to think for themselves. Because a child that is not brought up properly will not be able to think for himself. A child that is not brought up properly will not be able to think for himself. All these people that are called innovators today, trace their background. And then you look at the background of your child, whether they correlate. So trace the background of children that are innovators internationally. Even Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, the rich people like Jeff Bezos, you know. Trace those people and find out how they were brought up. Strictly. You cannot be productive when you are always in the bosom of your parents. Turned left to right like an egg. You grow up fragile, sensitive, manipulative. That demonic, manipulative mentality. That's what we are instilling in our children. And then we die. And then we leave children, you know, we leave them with money. What are they going to use that money that they are going to inherit from us? What are they going to do with the money? You know? So this is not about human right violation. This is the failure from a parent, and miserable failure from the government. So that one we leave it there. Now we get into our next one. Yeah, I have to be sorry here because I was brutal in this one. That brutal, we need brutal conversations. Okay, so now we are talking about the, you know, it was found that the founding fathers' wealth amounts up to $100 million. And then, according to some news, his house was renovated to the tune, or is it a, his house or farm was renovated to the tune of 43 million Namibian dollars. And then we hear that the former president again, Pohamba, was given 38 million by the government, and this, then his house renovated, also built at a, to the tune of 150 million. So that's together how much money? Almost 320 million spent on two founding fathers, I mean two fathers who were former presidents. And, you know, let alone, and excluding now the late president and also the former president who, the former president, Uncle Nangolo Mbumba. That's a lot of money. Then some people are saying, no, but that's too much money. Too much of, we are over appreciating these people. That's government or taxpayers' money going to certain just few individuals. And while there are poor people, you know, who don't have water in areas, they don't have, you know, there's some people don't even have food, and so on and so forth. Well, I have a brutal analysis to bring forth. To say that, well, other people are given this money by government, this so much money, while we have people that are in poverty. Well, from a democratic point of view and political point of view, you are very much correct. But life is not democratic. And life is not political. Life, the real life now, you know, remove your democratic and political jacket. Throw it outside for now. In fact, even remove your religious jacket and throw both of them outside. You pick them up later. Now let's talk life as it is. Real life. Now look, in life, under natural law, we have
e filoshisho utali kulandula kona ave wayuka e kwashili pale kolo marwendo paiwano kupitila mo NHP o atukatele komesho kwashili pale kola fika mafio pedola emiliona omlongo da Namibia moshi joshe tukeshe kuyanja omakwafo unamiti e nashane filoshisho lo paulumo mumbu kwa voveli ponje yo shilongo shijo shitopo rwasho ijo yetu tashiningwa inapawe banando ishoshe la yashi opo umone ya kulolo polis mwule o minute dishonailela lishangifako nhp.com.na umanga ino ya moruendo ponje yoshilong. E mangono malandula fano, ododino kulandurwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Okay, guys, life, ne? I don't know, the people that talked, they gave you a softer version of life. They have really deceived you. And those people need to be prosecuted. Because Namibians, I mean, people are very deceived to believe that life is so, you know, it's so soft. Life is never soft. Life is very brutal. And today we are going to get into the brutality of life. Now, I'm going to use this presidential appreciation as an example or as a basis from which we are going to have a conversation in this second story that we are busy analyzing. Now, politically speaking and democratically speaking, the money is too much, you know, for the presidents. But here's a twist. You know, the reason why we had a successful handover, takeover of governments is because our presidents knew that or know that in Namibia, if you are a former president, you still command respect in society. There is no, you know, persecution for you. You are not going to suffer. You are going to still receive, you still have benefits. So that's why Namibian, you know, are not on presidential chairs, you know, are not put there with super glue. They are there like, you know, those feathers, light, I don't know how you call it, the one that we use to remove spider's web. Very soft. That's how light the Namibian presidents have been on their chairs. Presidential chair. You know, the presidential chair of Namibia is easily vacatable. The presidential chair of Namibia is easily vacatable because people, the politicians know that, okay, you are not going to suffer. You know, we had the former president is still appearing at meetings and even being recognized. Oh, we recognize the presence of His Excellency, the former president, Dr. Pohamba. I mean, the late President Gengob did that many times. In fact, even Dr. Pohamba did that also to the late Uncle Nyoma, the founding father. They recognized his presence and even gave him chance to speak. So that's how matured, you know, Namibia is, or at least at that level, it gives us safety to say that Namibian politics is matured. That parliament has ratified a law, Act of 2004, to take care of former presidents. That sent a powerful and encouraging message. In fact, that law is embarrassing to Uganda, is embarrassing to Cameroon. That law is embarrassing to Niger, embarrassing to Burkina Faso. That law is embarrassing to Chad, is embarrassing to Central Africa Republic, is embarrassing to Burundi. That law is embarrassing to Rwanda, the so-called cleanest, you know, capital in Africa. That law is embarrassing to Tanzania, is embarrassing to Kenya, is embarrassing to almost every country in Africa. Because they don't have the same mentality that our politicians have. And it's not just politicians in the ruling party. When I talk about politicians, I'm talking about politicians including the opposition, the so-called opposition. I don't even know what opposition are the opposition in Namibia. Because the opposition, none of them is even thinking of a coup. They don't even dream about a coup. When they dream about a coup, they go to church. At least to pray, to cleanse that mentality. That's how innocent our opposition politicians are here. So when it comes to coup in Namibia, forget it to never happen. Unless this whole generation of politicians dies. And then maybe a new generation comes. But none of these politicians could even think about a coup. I'm telling you, if they think about a coup, if they dream about a coup, they go to church. So that's how innocent they are. So now, but that's now from a democratic and political point of view. Now let's come down a little bit. Let's get out of that stratospheric environment. Let's come back from Andromeda. Let's come into our universe now. Guys, you need to know that life, whoever told you that life is soft, and whoever gave you a version of life that is easy, that person needs to be prosecuted. Because that person deceived you big time. Life is never easy, and life will never be easy. Now, under natural law, if you have nothing, even the nothingness will be taken away from you. That's how serious it is. When you have nothing, life will not be sympathetic with you because you have nothing. Life will take away even that which you don't have. But those who have are the ones that receive more. Those who have receive more. So don't be surprised when people are given, the person is given, the person already has. While there are poor people that are, look, your poverty is none of anyone's business. Now, that is under the reality of life. When you're talking about the reality of life, your poverty is none of anyone's business. Okay? Your poverty is your business. See what to do to get out of poverty. So we need to stop talking about, you know, we need to stop that kind of sympathetic, you know, self-centered sympathetic, expression. Because it is good politically, it is good democratically, but it is not good when it comes to the reality of life. Now, but when we go to the religion that you people don't like, before we go there, you know, your poverty, my poverty, is none of my neighbor's business. My neighbor can buy a bed of 200,000 while I sleep on a carton. Because if he can afford to buy a bed of 200,000, he can afford, that is his money. He should not be victimized just because they are poor people. Poor people are none of his business. And I'm going to tell you why am I saying they are none of his business. So if somebody can afford to go to Cape Town to go and eat lunch and come back, or to have his pizza bought from Cape Town and delivered with a plane to, you know, and then from the airport it's picked up, that is what he can afford. If he can afford that, there is nothing wrong with that. So, and if a person can afford to buy an underwear of $1 million or build a golden toilet pot, like the Ukrainian businessman Tima Mindech, who built a toilet, you know, gold, a toilet pot, you want to sit on gold. He want to sit on a golden toilet pot. That is his money. So, the poor people are none of his business. Now, it will take the heart of God for you to be able to think about others. That is the heart of God. For you to be able to think about others, to say, okay, let me spend this much to, you know, to also help others. That's the heart of God. But a human being, okay, let me say this. If you are a blind giraffe in a forest, you know, and a lion somehow finds out that this giraffe is blind, that calls for a celebration to a lion, because it will think it will not need to work hard. You know, it does not need to work hard. But little does a lion know that there is what we call miscalculation that has serious repercussions. So let me say a lion is hunting a giraffe, and it finds out that a giraffe is blind. Okay, it's a giraffe that is living, it's a visually impaired, you know, giraffe. You know, blind people like to use that word, visually impaired. It's a softer word. So, it's a blind giraffe. What will the lion do? Say, okay, there's no work, there's nothing to work hard here. It's an opportunity. And you know, opportunity only comes once. Now, a lion does not, little does the lion know that the giraffe's hearing is very sharp. So, and the giraffe will know that, okay, these are three nautical steps before the lion paws are on me. And while the lion is preparing itself to jump, it is kicked. Bam! Force of gravity. That's how life is. Life is very brutal. And it is for the violent that always will take it by force. Life is not for people with chicken hearts. Because in life itself, there is no sympathy. I want to take you to the jungle for you to understand how life is. Our life here is like a jungle where you are an antelope and you know very well that at any chance you can be lunch, if not for a tiger, it's for a cheetah, or if not for a wild dog, it's for hyenas, let alone the lions. So you need to devise mechanisms on how to survive, because otherwise you will be on the menu, or you will be the menu. So you need to devise a mechanism to survive. If not, you will be. Now, life is like a crocodile and a lion. A lion fears a crocodile in the water. If a lion gets into the water, it becomes food for the crocodile. And the crocodile on land is food for the lion. That's how it is. Everyone is hunted. Now, why am I saying this? Is because people, if you work very hard, the people that worked very hard. Now, in the Bible, there were three people. You know, Jesus gave this parable. In the Bible, there were three people that were given talents. So, one was given five, and he went and multiplied by two. They became ten. The other one that was given two, he went and multiplied, and they became four. And then to the other one was given one. He went and buried it. When he went to bury it, the person, the master who gave them talents came now to say, guys, I gave you money, so bring. I invested. Where is my investment? Say, no, your investment has accumulated. It has doubled. Here, this is 10. The other one said, investment has doubled. Here, this four. The other one came and say, start blaming the master. You are a very hard master, very stingy, very selfish. You even harvest where you have not sown. That's how selfish you are. So, you gave me this one talent. I went and buried it into the earth. So, here is your talent. It was never multiplied. You see what the master said? The master said, this is a wicked servant. So, bind him foot and hand, or hand and foot, and cast him into the outer darkness. And what did he say? He said, take that one talent and give it to the one that have ten. So, to him, that has, it shall be added. But to the one that does not have, even that which does not have, it will be taken out from him. So that's how we are in this world. So we are complaining that certain things are done because, well, they are poor people. Now, reality will ask you, who led you into poverty? Is it the founding father or the former president? Yes.
That is right. Good afternoon.
Yes, afternoon.
From the day, Bobby. Oh, I'm alive.
Oh, you thought it was not live. It's live.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I want to comment on the three issues that you have mentioned.
Yes.
On the children's behavior, attitude towards teachers, and how discipline, how parents are actually neglecting or responsible for some of those deviant behavior from the children. It's true, Lungas. You say Lungas, Lungus. So now, you, according to explanation I got, is somehow talkative. Somebody who, you know, talk too much.
Somebody that has a running mouth.
Running mouth. The running mouth is now because of the saliva or the talking or what? Running mouth. It's just, you just talk. So if that is not a derogatory or a very bad remark from the child or from the learner, or maybe, then what is it? So it might not deserve that serious whipping. I don't know how serious the whipping was, or maybe it was applied as a load of correction, some correction measure. So if it is done in that manner, then obviously the child was corrected professionally or appropriately. But if it is the corporal punishment, maybe it went to the extent of arming the child or hurting the child in the manner that prompted the parents or to open a case, and then maybe that's something else. Maybe it has to be treated on its own merit there. But if it is just correction to bring some kind of normality or discipline among the learners, then why? Of course, they have got the right to open the case against the teacher. Or sometimes they even go to the extent of maybe the second respondent, the ministry. So I think in that way, so it need to be, both case need to be weighed and be treated appropriately, accordingly. So, but the thing that I really have found out, observed is that many parents, like we were saying yesterday, they seem not to know or understand the obligation, and also to make children understand about their obligation, their responsibility towards teachers, parents, and everyone in society. Whether it has to be with their peer, their classmates or age mate and things like that, there must be that respect of the other's right or dignity. But if it's, we allow it in that, in just in that the way people are doing it, the learners are doing now, their interaction with the teachers, so I think that can cause some kind of confusion among the learners in the school staff. So lastly, the issue of Trump, Talish, which his colleagues are saying are lawful. I also support that. I agree that he might have acted out of emotion, and hence the, is it his cabinet or what is some of his colleagues, the minister of his team, for his administration, are not happy that he went outside the law. And those three tariffs have actually affected a lot of people in the world. So, and maybe I might also think that maybe some people were seriously affected, maybe life lost it. Or because if you have to procure medication and all these other things, and all of a sudden the Talis and the people could no longer afford to have access to medication, medical treatment, for example, or equal opportunity. I think that one is it can be considered as unlawful, or somebody who just took a decision arbitrarily. So it's not a good thing. So what about the Iran and the America? In terms of, because I heard they are negotiating.
You are going ahead of me. I did not even reach there.
Oh, you are still coming in.
Yes.
Okay, so let me end up here. So, but we seriously need to socialize and upbringing of our children in the way that they should go. And when they are grown, they will not depart from that. Those principles, the core principles that he talks about, the convention that talks about children's rights, the protection, and all this promotion to education and learning. Create, as teachers, create a very, very conducive environment for the teaching and learning to take place. Otherwise, learning will not take place, but the teaching might take place, but have the learners learned those lessons or subject matter. So let me listen to you on the issue of Iran and see what we can digest from there.
Thank you very much, Uncle Bunny.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Right. All right. So now, who is responsible for your poverty? Because we need to start there. Because when this will determine whether we need to stop talking about, or we need to stop using this phrase. Well, people, well, they are poor people. You know, these people, well, they are poor people. We use that well, all the time. But who is responsible for your poverty? Okay? Who is responsible? Look, my brother is not responsible for my blindness. Okay? So my brother is not responsible for my blindness. So, whatever he is doing for himself to survive, he is doing it for himself. He does not owe me anything. And if I don't have means to survive, well, I will rot in poverty, and I will die miserably. So we need to stop thinking that people are responsible for our conditions. We need to stop thinking about that. No one is responsible for your condition. Now, I don't know why I was born blind. That one I don't know. So, I don't know why I was born blind. That one I don't know. And I don't care about it. Because knowing it or not knowing it does not buy my electricity. Even if I knew why I became blind, it will not buy my electricity. So, now, me being born blind is not a problem. It's how I live my life. You know, you being poor is not a problem. It's what you do to get out of poverty or to sink into poverty. That is what matters. So, us being poor here while other people are receiving 38 million, that's not a government's problem. In as much as we want to make it a government problem, it's not. The government is just following a natural law. to whom that has. it's a terrible brutal law. Okay, because you want people to be sympathetic with you, and you think I'm speaking from privilege. I'm not. I have no privilege in whatsoever. In fact, I'm not even related to any of the former presidents. So, the government is just following a brutal and terrible natural law that to whom that has, he that has will have more. But him that does not have, even that which he does not have will be taken away from him. That is a natural law. And the government is following it. Literally. So that's why the IPC leader of opposition in parliament is saying he's not going to get a second-hand car. But the IPC was the one that was saying they want to save costs. They want to save money. Now, the leader of opposition doesn't want a second-hand car. That's how life is. Life, when you are far from the fire, you talk differently. But when you come near the fire, your language changes. Okay, I don't want to analyze that one because I'll be more brutal and you people will hate me. So let me spare you for that, from that one. But I'm not leaving it. I'm pausing it. I'm coming back to it. I just want to come and show you the hypocrisy of politicians next time. I'll come and show you the hypocrisy of IPC next Saturday. But this time, I already told you the chaotic failure of SWAPO. So I told you the chaotic failure of SWAPO because it's a SWAPO-led government where public schools are becoming dustbins or the den of all ill-mannered children. Now, to end with that, before we get to our last, analysis, we are just saying life is very brutal. Life is very, very brutal. And if you don't understand that, you will suffer because you are going to be on the menu. You are going to be the menu on people's table. You are going to be the menu on people's tables if you don't understand the brutality of life and, you know, do something. So that's why God comes in. Because if we leave it all to a human being, there will be poor people. The poor will be the poorest. The richer will be the richest. Because that's how it is. So, but people with the heart of God also come in to say, no, let us share. You know, let us share. We give a little bit to them also to at least bring them to a certain level. Let us share. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God that does that. 083-2888-401 if you want to also come in. That's the number in studio. But life is brutal. Life is a brutal jungle. If you are a blind giraffe, For you to survive till tomorrow morning, you need wisdom. If not, you are going to be a big fat lunch tonight. And in the jungle, there is no inclusivity. There is no, you know, there is no sympathy that is enjoyed by people with disability and the women and LGBTQ people. That's not in jungle. In the jungle, you are, it's survival mechanisms. That's what matters. If you will pity yourself, you will be pitifully eaten. But if you know that, oh, what is smelling here is a hyena, and you can smell the proximity, and you kick, bam, hyena's jaws are broken. So at least you have taken one hyena down, because hyenas walk as a pack. One's jaw is broken while you are kicking the other side, those other ones are climbing on your neck. So you need to, that's how life is. I remember when I was a child, you know, I was taught to understand the brutality of life in the hard way. Because somebody will whip you from behind and run away. When you are slapping in the air. So you will have to devise a way that, oh, okay, this is the way. You know, you need to have mechanisms. Otherwise, you will be crying every day. Because somebody can just whip you and run away and say, no, I'm not the one, I'm coming from this side. So until one day, when you devise a way to help yourself, that's when life itself will start respecting you. Life does not respect people that are, life does not respect soft-hearted people. This natural law under which we are, it does not respect sympathy. It's not a pity party. No. The life that we live in is not a pity party. It's not a pity, but it's not a bathtub of pity, of emotions. No. Life is practical, tangible, real, and very brutal. So, we need to understand that, okay, life is not really all about politicians. Voting for politicians and then we think they will answer all our needs. No. We work hard and the time to come and vote, we vote. And even when we are voting, we vote knowing that after voting I'm going to my work that pays my money. I mean, that buys me electricity and pays my bills. What the politicians can facilitate is a conducive environment for us to continue working and continue making money. Not them that gives us money. The politicians don't give us money. But they facilitate a conducive environment under which we work properly. That's why we vote for them. But we think because we are poor, it's a government responsibility to take us out of poverty. It's a lie. Not true. If you don't do anything, if you can't think of a way to come out of poverty, you will die in poverty and your children will also come and die in the poverty and it will become a generational cycle. Until one person thinks to say, no, I cannot live the way my grandfathers lived. Somebody comes and redefine life and, you know, set up a standard. And that's where you will know, that's where somebody will become, that person will be free. And even if that person is free and that kind of wisdom is not passed on, people will come and sink back into poverty. So these things are intentional. We need to be intentional. It's about you. Because rich people don't care about a present given 38 million or a house renovated for 150 million. Rich people don't care about that. It is us, the poor, that are making noise. Why? We are making noise not because what is done is wrong, because we have failed personally in our own lives to turn our situations around. And now we are using that as, you know, as a basis to vent. So if we want to come out of poverty, we must be intentional. We must take our condition personal and be intentional to change. That's the only thing that we can do. All right, so let me now allow Ketsi Patty Machikisa and Ketsi and Mweketsi to finish.
to your expectations. Neither are you here to live up to mine. Yeah. I don't owe no one, no obligation. No one only none, so everything is fine. I said I am that I am, I am, I am, I am.
Right, we come back. We come back, and we are dealing with analysis. And now we get into the last analysis. The Geneva talks with between America and Iran seems to have failed. And America is threatening to strike Iran. And even they are saying that it could be this weekend. So the Americans have sent another aircraft carrier that is the SS Abraham Lincoln, that had been sent to the Middle East. And America is busy boosting that force, that, you know, striking force. This is more than, you know, what the Americans used last year when they struck Fordo and Natanz. Now, the difference, though, is that this last year, the Iranians did not know that the Americans will attack. But now, the Iranians know, and they are also preparing themselves. So the Iranians are preparing themselves because now they know that the Americans are threatening to attack. And they also said that if America attacks Iran, the Iranians will fight back with every means available. So, now let's say the Americans attack Iran. Because the Americans, you know, Trump has the upcoming midterm elections. So let me say America attacks Iran. And according to the Americans, they are prepared for the whole week. Like they prepared everything to last the whole week, which means they estimate that the war with the Iran will last a week. That's what they estimate. But these are estimations. They are not practical realities. The war between America and Iran may not last for, you know, a week. May last longer than that. Because you are talking about a country of 80 million and with a force of 500,000. So you cannot tell me you are fighting for a week with that. So the Iranians this time could be prepared, more prepared than last year's 12 days war with Israel. In fact, Netanyahu is the one that begged, you know, picked up a phone and called Trump to tell the Iranians to stop the war, to negotiate with the Iranians, because Israel was starting to receive the real fire. Now, let's say the Iranians and the Americans and the Israelis are fighting. That is also going to embolden the Houthis and Hezbollah. They are also going to fight, you know, Hamas is also going to be, so it is going to be a chaotic situation in the Middle East. It is going to be a chaotic situation in the Middle East. Now, Trump will only rejoice when he fights Iran and destroys Iran in a week and ends it all. That might give him a card to win the midterm elections.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, because you clearly haven't been holodified. Like, boring day at the spani, Polana for your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polana fry your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polana fry your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polana fry every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
So that is going to give Trump a card to win elections. But let me say, Trump is just having lungus, and nothing like that will happen. And the war drags in longer. Trump is going to lose that election, and in fact lose Senate. That is also going to make him, you know, lose the majority in Congress, and also, you know, get him impeached. Because there is a lot of things that Trump has done that is giving the Democrats more power to want him impeached. He has survived the impeachment. I don't think he will survive the impeachment this time. I don't think this time Trump will survive the impeachment should that come to that level. So, but that will depend on the war in Iran and how the war will go on. Because once America starts to suffer losses, and, you know, oil prices start to go up because the Strait of Hormuz is controlled by Iran. You know, it's not really about the carriers that America has. It's about the missiles that can sink them. And it seems that Iran is not far from having that. Or to say that Iran has that capabilities may not be a far-fetched suggestion. So, because it will be difficult for America to invade Iran, like to have ground forces, you know, in Iran. Because Iran, okay, maybe if they come through Syria, they can come through Syria, both American and Israeli, forces to fight now with the Iranians. But that might not work as Trump thinks, because the Iranian population might rally behind their government, because they will view the Americans as invaders. They will view what the American is doing as an invasion, just like they did last year. Israel thought that they were going to make a tactical attack to decapitate the Iranian leadership, which almost happened, because they managed to semi-decapitate Iranian military, you know, leadership, but the Iranians regrouped. And when they regrouped, they started responding. And Israel started to catch fire. So that's why even when it was said there must be a ceasefire, Israel did not object, because they were catching fire. Now, this may not be like last year. This may be more worse. That if Trump thinks that he can fight a war and win the war, well, good luck. If he wins the war, it is going to be good for him, because he's then going to use that as, you know, a card for the midterm elections. But if something goes wrong, you know, if something goes wrong and the war drags on, because America doesn't like fighting wars that are longer. America does not like to fight longer wars. America wants quick victory. Wants to come in today and pack and get out tomorrow. But they were dragged on in Afghanistan for 20 years. And if they could fight for 20 years in Afghanistan, Iran will be more worse. So they might stay longer in Iran. They might be able to overthrow a government. But then both Iran and Israel will go down into chaos, will be plunged into chaos. And the Middle East will be chaotic because countries like Saudi Arabia and others will not be able to manage the chaos. So, what America is trying to do right now is very risky. What America is trying to do right now is very much risky. Very much risky. It's a risky exercise to Trump's career because Trump might end up being impeached. He might lose Senate and lose, you know, congressional majority and then plunge into chaos and be impeached. And when he's impeached, J.D. Vance, who's a vice president, might take over. And when he takes over, he will come and inherit the chaos that Trump will leave behind. Because Trump will not only lose Senate and Congress, congressional majority. Trump will also lose his base. His MAGA base. You know, when he came to campaign, he used peace. And he was supported by people like Tucker Carlson and others, you know, Scott Ritter, Douglas McGregor and others who don't want war. But now, Scott Ritter, you know, Douglas McGregor and others are talking ill about, against Trump. Because they see that Trump was not up to what he promised. He was not living up to what he promised. So now, they are beefing him. And it could be that he might lose his base. And the Republican Party will lose this election if this war drags on. And I'm sure it will drag on. Because Iran is not Syria. Iran is also not Afghanistan. So, it's risky. But well, that is Trump for you. He's ready to, you know, he's ready to challenge the situation. Then we go to the tariffs. The Supreme Court ruled against Trump. They told him that he doesn't have power to issue tariffs. And of course, the Department of Commerce celebrated the news because a lot of importers in America were hurt by Trump's tariffs because countries were also retaliating. But Trump insists he will continue with his tariffs. And the Trump secretary says that Trump has many tools to continue with the tariffs. So, that's, if you want to be part of the conversation, you want to make a comment, 083-2388-401. That's a number in studio. What do you think? Do you think Trump is able to get into Iran for 1 week and come out? Or do you see the war dragging on? And do you think Trump will win the midterm elections? Or do you see the Democrats, you know, taking over? What is your analysis of the situation? 0832-888-401. That is the number in studio. If you want to be part of the conversation. It is 21 minutes past, 21 minutes to 4. And 4 o'clock, I will have to get out of here. 4 o'clock, I will get out of here.
Akutuye wenda kanifata te wange. Akutuye wenda kanifaye penda fule. Akutuye wenda ningofie kumbata etu.
call your name.
Daddy.
Daddy.
Eddie.
I call your name.
Daddy.
Daddy.
Eddie.
I call your name.
Daddy.
All right, so being overconfident is dangerous, and it has proven to be, you know, as many times as we can, you know, we can trace in history, being overconfident is dangerous. Because the Americans thought they were just going to be, you know, certain months in Vietnam. They ended up being from 1960, you know, 1961. So they ended up being five to six years in Vietnam. And the French army, in fact, was wiped out in Vietnam. So, being overconfident is dangerous. It works. I mean, it worked with Maduro, where they got in and they took him. It was quick, swift. But that might not work elsewhere. You know, it's not a one size fits all. It is not a one size fits all. So logistics may, reality and logistics may meet reality on the ground. And things may go haywire. And when things go haywire, you will be forced to re-strategize. And you will want to use nuclear weapons to just win immediately. So, America need to be, Trump need to calculate, he needs to calculate his ways very well here. He needs to calculate his way very well here. Because otherwise, things may go wrong. Thousands of U.S. troops may be killed. And that might end in a quagmire or in a quagmiatic situation. If not in a karatagoma of the whole Middle East. So, Trump needs to think well. And his advisors need to advise him very well so that they may not deceive him and then at the end of the day, you know, because he will lose. He might not lose the war as such. Maybe he might win, but the win may not be as quick as he expects it. And then when the win starts to drag on, this is where things start to go quagmire. Because the American citizens are not used to karatagoma. They are not used to prices going high, inflation, you know, going high. They are not used to that. And the moment that the United States citizens start to feel the pinch at home, they will start demonstrating. And Trump's trust in the nation may start to go down. So he must really hope that that does not happen. But from the look of things, it might be that, you know, war might drag on, you know, longer than expected because Iran has capabilities. Not like Syria, not like Iraq, not like Afghanistan, not like Libya, and even not like Somalia. not like Lebanon or Yemen. So Iran is a different country with different capabilities. And it might be difficult for them to penetrate and create a rebel group. In Iran, that is very difficult. In Iraq, you already had... Okay, so another problem would be that once this government in Iran is toppled, there might be civil, you know, tribal, you know, segregations. The Kurds, you know, the Kurds and other tribes, other minority tribes may want to be on their own, having their own states, and so on. So this may really be chaotic on both Iran, Israel, and the United States, as well as the entire Middle East. So it might end up chaotically. Really. This is going to be a karatagoma. This is going to be a karatagoma bigger than that of Iraq, Syria, and the rest. This is going to be a karatagoma. Because America, in the long term, might suffer insurgency like they did in, like it happened in Iran, in Iraq. They toppled the government quickly, but America suffered from insurgency. Insurgent groups, smaller, you know, radical military formations and factions might take advantage of the situation and then arm themselves, because there'll be weapons everywhere. There'll be weapons everywhere. So they might, other groups might take advantage of the situation and, you know, other groups may take advantage of the situation and then create chaos such as I've never seen in the Middle East. So Trump needs to be advised properly. Before he plunges the Middle East into chaos. And then, you know, bring the whole, even, you know, drag in entire Middle East into fire. You know, countries like Jordan, you know, Saudi Arabia, countries like Qatar, Kuwait, Bahrain, you know, countries like Oman, might be dragged into this, you know, into chaos. So, and that would be the end of, you know, the Middle East as you know it. So we are yet to see what will transpire. I'm going to buy my own popcorn and sit on the couch and watch news and watch from the live screen, how things will manifests. So till then, we will meet again next Saturday, and we'll meet again next Saturday as we come and analyze more. Please don't miss Realm of the Historics, 1 o'clock to 4 every Saturday on Eagle FM. As from me, that means we are safely landing. It's time to disembark the plane. It's a goodbye from me, and continue to listen to more programs to follow. Once you hear that sound,